Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. All of us have things. The question that Jesus' parable this morning will put to us is this: to what extent do our things have a hold on us? To what extent do the things that we possess play a role in defining how we see who we are, how we determine our importance in this life, how we compare ourselves with other people? In some fundamental sense, what do our possessions tell us about the meaning of our lives? Because we certainly live in the world that seems to say, in so many different ways, possessions are incredibly important to who you are, to how you should perceive yourself, to how we, the world, perceives you. And there are many pithy sayings out there to support that view, like, he who dies with the most toys wins. Wins what? Well, don't you know it's a contest? You want to be number one. You want to have the most. And when you die, people want to say, oh boy, they had a lot of stuff. They were a successful person. They were a good person. They lived a good life. What does Scripture have to say about that kind of a point of view? What does Scripture have to say about our possessions? Well, we're going to look at one of Jesus' parables about this topic. It's found in Luke chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' 'Yes,' says Jesus, 'a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God.'" So Jesus is in a crowd. He's probably been teaching. And someone yells out to him and say, "I want you, Jesus, to tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." And Jesus addresses him as friend. He's not angry. He's not offended. But he decides that there is something more important to be addressed than the legal issue of an inheritance. And so instead of responding to the man's demand, he says, "Beware, be on your guard against every kind of greed. And Scripture says he doesn't just say that to the man. He's speaking to the whole crowd when he says this, who, of course, heard what the man yelled and heard Jesus' response and continued to listen. And I wonder what Jesus was going to say to the man. And instead he says to them, be on your guard against greed. And it's like, me? Why is he talking to me? It's the brother there who sounds kind of greedy, isn't it? No, see, Jesus knows our hearts. He isn't just going to focus in on what's going on between a couple of brothers. He's going to focus on what's going on in the crowd. And because we have the Word of God brought to us by the Holy Spirit, who knows that we, the crowd of today, if you will, needs to hear exactly what the crowd did back then. So Jesus deals with a deeper issue of the heart. Beware. Be on your guard against greed. And then, as he often does, he tells a story. We call it a parable. Now, it's a story. It's a story about a rich man who has all these fields, and he has a bumper crop. It's a great harvest. He has an abundance, and he's not quite sure what to do with that abundance. Well, so far, so good. There's nothing in this parable that speaks against being rich. And there's nothing in this parable that speaks against having an abundance, enjoying something that comes to you even unexpectedly, as it seems to have come to this man. He's not expecting the amount of crop. That's why he has to ask, what am I going to do with it? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what is going on in the life of this man so far. But now we get to his first mistake. It is what he does next. If you read carefully the scripture again, you will see the very next thing he says after he identifies the concern. He said to himself, I will. That's why he's a fool. Not a fool in my eyes or your eyes. God says he's a fool. And we need to take that very seriously. Why is he a fool? He said to himself, I will. Old Testament Proverbs. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. What the rich man is doing in light of his abundance is he's essentially saying, there is no God with whom I need to have any kind of engagement when it comes to deciding what I'm going to do with my wealth. That's why he's a fool. He says to himself, I will. And we notice, it is so obvious in the conversation he's having with himself, his greediness. What Jesus is warning, if you will, in the parable, beware, be on guard against greed. What is his greed doing? It is turning him inward. If you notice the language that is used in the parable, it's all, I will do this, and this is mine, and I will, and myself, and it's all about him. And he's foolish because he's unwilling to admit even, let alone act upon, the reality that there's a God with whom he needs to be in conversation, who he needs to engage in understanding what to do with his abundance. Instead of being foolish and disregarding God, disregarding what God has given him to help him make decisions about his riches, for example, God has given his word. And if this rich man didn't have a copy of a Bible for himself, which he may not have had, especially in the first century, he certainly could have gone to the local village rabbi and asked a question and said, I have just come into an abundance. What does the Word of God have to say to someone like me? Begin to be wise. Begin to be understanding. Be on guard against greed, because it will make you a fool in regard to what you have and in regard to your relationship with God. And perhaps if he had gone to that rabbi, or if he'd had the scriptures and had looked it up, he might have looked at a place like Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says this, "Never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful." Perhaps if he had heard that verse or read that verse, perhaps if he'd taken just a little bit of time, not just to say to himself, I will, but to say, I wonder what God's will is. Well, it certainly starts with, don't use all this I and my language, Mr. Rich Man. Don't say to yourself, I have done this. This is my success. Only I get to decide what to do with it and how to use it. Don't say that. Remember the Lord your God. He's a fool because he doesn't remember the Lord his God. If he knew scripture just in general, not a particular verse like out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, he would certainly know that God is the creator of the world. He would know that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above. He wouldn't know the quote from Peter because Peter hadn't written it yet in the New Testament, but it reflects the teachings of Scripture. God looks at all that he creates and says, it is good. Why is it good for the rich man? Well, God created the fields in which he gets to sow the wheat. God provides the sun and the rain in its season that this crop may grow. God has provided the abundance that he's experiencing, and God has created human beings with enough physical ability and mental acumen to be able to go out and harvest that abundance and put it to good use. All of that has come from God, and he would be a wise rich man of abundance if he even began thinking about that, considering that. Recognizing this is not fundamentally mine to do with as I will for my good, so I can take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. That is not why God has given it to me. So why has God given it to me? You notice Jesus doesn't say. Jesus, nowhere in this parable, and I would suggest nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the Gospels in terms of a general teaching, like a formula of some kind, this is what every child of God should do with their riches, or if you get an abundance, this is what you should do with it. Nowhere does Jesus in this parable say this is what the rich man should have done, this is what I would have advised him to do. There's nothing like that in there, because that's not the purpose of the parable. And indeed, that's not the purpose of Jesus' teaching. When he says, beware, be on guard against greed, he doesn't say the answer is for me to give you the anti-greed formula. Give this percentage. Figure things out this way. Compare yourself with 10 other people in your church. Figure out how much money they make. Average it. And then compare with your salary. And da-da-da-da-da-da. And we have a long equation. Fill it all in. And you get a number at the end. And that's how much you know how to give. We don't have that. Why? Because Jesus knows it wouldn't work. Because the problem is not the formula. The problem is the heart. The heart that says, this is mine, isn't going to pay attention to a formula, be it biblical or the pastors or the churches or anybody else's. Jesus knows that. That's what greed does. That's why we need to be on guard against greed. And here, greed is defined by simply a lot of I and my language. It's mine. I brought it about. It's my success. And it's my decision in terms of what to do with my stuff. And if I choose to give a little bit of it to the church, if I choose to give a little bit to the orphanage or to the missionary, it's my choice. It's my stuff. And God better pay attention to what I am willing to do with my foolishness, says the Bible. Foolishness. Because you are operating out of greed. So what is the point of the parable? If it's not to give us a formula, if it's not to read this parable and then we all know exactly how much to put in the offering plate the next time it comes by, how much to make our checkout for the church, what is the point of the parable? It's right at the end. It's the very last thing that Jesus says. He says it negatively because he's talking about what the rich man didn't do, so we need to transpose it and make it positive. This is the point of the parable. Be rich in your relationship with God. Notice he didn't say be rich in how much you give to God. That's not the point. Be rich in your relationship, because Jesus knows if you or I are rich in our relationship with God, then what we give to God out of what he's given to us is going to start coming naturally. It's not going to be grudgingly. It's not going to be given out of a sense of guilt or out of a sense of, oh no, if I don't give, the church won't be able to, you know, I don't know, keep the lights on or heat the building or something, and it'll be real uncomfortable coming to church in the wintertime if they don't have the heat on, and so I better give some money, and on and on and on. Where we start is with our heart, and Jesus says, have a right relationship with God. So how do we do that? Well, Scripture. We already talked about the Bible. A right relationship with God is found through the reading, the study, and the application of the Word of God. Doing it personally and in your own personal time. We have a Bible reading plan. We have devotions that are in the bulletin every week. For those of you at home, you can find these things on the website. That's one way. Many of you follow other kind of devotionals. We have some out on the table in Fellowship Hall, the upper room. Great devotional, daily Bible reading. Read some comments that someone has written about them. Think about the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. That's part of developing a rich relationship. And you'll come across verses like Deuteronomy 8. You'll come across parables like Luke 12. You'll come across the words of Jesus and Paul and others when it comes to money. And people have said, I've never really checked this out myself, but I take them at their word, that Jesus says more about money than almost any other topic. Paul says a lot about it, especially in his letters to the Corinthians. You'll find it there quite easily. It's not hard. And other places in the Bible. Because greed is a problem. It's not a problem because God needs our stuff. I hope we recognize that by now. He created it to begin with. It's not the fact that the man is rich, because who made him rich? You can answer. Who made him rich? God made him rich. So why would God be angry with him for being rich if he made him rich? See, we get it all messed up. He's not upset with him. He doesn't call him a fool because he's rich. He calls him a fool because in his wealth, he disregards a relationship with God. Which is why maybe, even though it's not in the parable, but we find in other places, maybe why God doesn't make more people rich. This is kind of parenthesis here, but maybe God hasn't made you as rich as you'd like to be because he knows what would happen if he did. And he'd rather have you be poor than be a fool. And I'd rather be poor than to be a fool also. Riches are dangerous because they tempt us to foolishness. They tempt us to look at me, look at what I've done, look at what I have, look at my success, and look at how I get to decide what I want to do with my money. And look how generous I am. I mean, really, look, right? I mean, you know, put a plaque somewhere so other people can see it too, and so on and so forth. Have a right relationship with God. Okay, I got off track, sorry. Scripture, have a right relationship with God, God's word, prayer. That's when we come to God. And why not pray about the question, Lord, you have blessed me with much. I have an abundance. One way to finding that is just more than I need for me and those that I'm responsible for, family, spouse, you know, whoever it might be. I have more than I need, but I need your help to know your will for how to use it, for to know your will. Prayer. Now, I've prayed that prayer for many, many years. I've never had an angel come down and give me the answer. You know, I've never kind of had the writing on the wall that tells me how much to put on my pledge card. That's never happened to me. So prayer is not something where you just get the direct answer. But there is something that happens in prayer. And most importantly, you are going to God with your desire. You're becoming a wise person. God, in prayer, I recognize that everything that my bank book says I have, it's my name on the account. I know it's not really mine. It's yours, and I want it to be used in the best way possible. But I don't know how to do that. I can't figure all that out myself. I need you to tell me. And you didn't have your son kind of give me the formula, and you probably aren't going to give me a formula, but you're going to give me a sense. You're going to give me a sense that here's a need. Here's a place where I can make a difference. Here's a ministry, a church, a Christian fellowship that I'm involved in. And your word is very clear that we are to support the ministry or the church that we're a part of. So how do I do that best? Yes, with my money, but I have many other gifts and resources from God besides just my finances. But they tend to be the hardest for us to deal with. The hardest for us to have no. But God sees our heart. And if we're seeking to develop a right relationship with Him, the promise is that He will begin to guide us. He will use His word to show us the particulars of our giving. He will use prayer as a way of guiding us into how He wants us to give. He will use the fellowship that we're part of as we become aware of needs. Whether it's a general stewardship campaign and saying we have these overall needs for the church or particular needs in different areas of ministry. And God will help us to see that's somewhere I can be involved. But don't be so foolish as just to say, I can figure it out. This is mine. It's up to me. Why not give it to God? Because He's the one who's given it to you to begin with. The Word of God is full of just good, helpful ways to think about these things. And I'm going to close by sharing one more with you. This is out of the Psalms, Psalm 116, verse 12. A wonderful verse. Indeed, a verse that I commend to you. Again, Psalm 116, verse 12. You could probably memorize it in 15 minutes. It would be a wonderful prayer to pray to God whenever you're thinking about this kind of a thing, giving and offering, and what does God want? This is what it says. What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me? It's that simple. What can I offer the Lord for all that He has done for me? If that's a verse that becomes descriptive of your life and how you seek to be in relationship with God, then you're doing exactly what Jesus commends you to do in that parable. You're becoming rich in your relationship with God. You're becoming wise in the things of God, including what it has to do with riches, with money, with wealth, with possessions. You don't have every answer right at the beginning, but you're becoming rich. What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, this is a hard topic. It's one that we kind of feel a bit resistant to. But all that does really, I think, show that resistance, that greed is a real issue. Jesus isn't just picking a topic out of the air and talking about it just to be talking about something. This truly is a problem for many of us. It's not so much of a problem than in the greed we don't want to share anything, that we don't care at all, that we're not willing to give a little bit away. It's rather in our greed we have fallen into the trap, the foolishness of thinking, you know, this is really just between, well, me and me, not me and God. I kind of feel like that I've earned my paycheck. I've earned my Social Security payment. I've earned my pension. I've earned the interest and the dividends. I have. And we forget right there at the beginning that it's from God and that it has been given to us as a gift for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, for our peace. And it is given so that we have something with which we may give to others, so that we can truly love our neighbor in very practical ways. Because for the vast majority of us, we really are, in any sense of the word, rich, certainly compared with where most people are in the world. We do have more than we need. We are able to share, and that is a gift from you. So help us, Lord, to be wise. Help us, Lord, to be people who are developing a right relationship with you. Help us to use your word, to use prayer, to use time we spend in fellowship, to use the ministry that we're part of as this congregation as opportunities to grow more rich in our relationship with you. And as we do so, to learn well how you would have each one of us deal with all the things that you have blessed us with. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.